Bible.com.
All right, hey, did you ever have a time where someone you knew got this really cool thing, like maybe an expensive toy, or a new game, or a really cool bike, right? And it was something that you had really wanted? Think about how that made you feel for a second. All right, now kids, what's a word that might describe how you felt? Anybody have an idea? What do you have? Jealous, right? Is that what you're going to say too? Yes, jealous. Because it's sometimes hard to accept when other people get the good things that you wish you had or feel like you deserve, right? It's sometimes hard to accept that. Now, if our heart was in the right place, and we would be happy for them, right? And maybe we are even a little bit happy for them, but we're also a little bit jealous. Right? This summer, we've been talking about the king and his kingdom and looking at different passages that tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. This particular week, we're looking at a story that Jesus told his disciples, and it has to do with how God is being generous, because God is a generous God, and how we sometimes get jealous of what he gives other people. And to switch things up a bit, a lot of times we hear the story and we have a whole bunch of points and then we kind of boil it down to our bottom line. We're going to switch it up this morning and we're going to start with that from the very beginning, okay? So our bottom line, our big idea for today is this: when God is generous to others, don't be jealous. All right, pretty simple, but let's say it together. When God is generous to others, don't be jealous. One more time. When God is generous to others, don't be jealous. Okay, so are you ready to hear the story? Say yes. All right, here we go. This is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Jesus speaking here says this: "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one hired us.' The landowner told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, 'Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat?' He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are now last will be first then, and those who are first will be last.'" All right, so this is the story that Jesus told, and can you kind of see what's going on here? Like, some workers thought they should get more than they were promised because other people who did less work got the same amount as them. The master was generous, and they got jealous. Now, these are stories that tell us what the kingdom is like. We can definitely tell that the kingdom of heaven is like, well, God is generous. But being jealous about what he gives others, that's not something he wants for us. So the bottom line, one more time, let's pull that back up. When God is generous to others, don't be jealous. Say it out loud. When God is generous to others, don't be jealous. All right, now, We're going to go into this a little bit more deeply for our adults. And kids, if you want to work in your books, you're welcome to do that, or you're welcome to listen as we go along here, okay? So, adults, this point isn't just a lesson for our kids, right? This is one that we want to take to heart for us too at the core of this. When God is generous to others, don't be jealous. When we think of, we might struggle with this at times, when we think of maybe the friend we had who doesn't have to pay for college because, well, his parents foot the bill. Or maybe the family that gets to take these amazing vacations, or the girlfriend or the guy friend who meets the perfect match. And we find ourselves sometimes in that same place, right? Battling jealousy. But when God is generous to others, don't be jealous. So this is our main idea too. It's something we need to put into practice because it reflects the heart of the kingdom. I think you'll see that as we dive more deeply into the parable and what's going on here. So when you hear about the master in this parable, the master of the house, well, God is the master of the house, right? No surprise there. Of course, he's the master of the house in this parable because God's the master of everything, right? So when he talks about the master of the house, he's talking about God. And then in this parable, Jesus says that the master has a vineyard. Now, is there significance to that? Absolutely. There's some pretty deep significance. It has relevance to the Jewish people at the time who he was talking to their leaders, and then how the gospel was going to be brought to the Gentiles who were not Jewish people as well. But there's a simpler point that's probably more important for us, and that's this. The master, God, has work to be done. Right? He has work to be done. Now, we don't know the actual work that they were told to do in the vineyard. Maybe it was pruning, right? Pruning the branches. Maybe it was watering. Maybe it was picking the grapes. I mean, who knows? The text doesn't say. Jesus doesn't spell that out. But since the master went out to find workers, not just once at the beginning of the day, not twice, not even three or four times, but five different times throughout the day, I think that tells us a couple of things. When it comes to the work that the master had, first of all, it tells us that the work is important. Right? The work is important. It's like what Jesus told his disciples, his disciples in another place. We read in Matthew chapter 9, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Right? He's praying, asking us to pray that there be more workers. See, it's a problem if the work doesn't get done right away. It's like this work needs to be done today. He couldn't put it off until tomorrow, and so he kept calling in workers throughout the day. There's an urgency here to the task he needed done. The work was important. And the second thing is that the work was incomplete. Right? It wasn't done, at least not yet. There was still much more that needed to be finished. But the daylight was running out. Like what Jesus said to his disciples, we read in John 9, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work." Right? So in Jesus' story, when it's the 11th hour, when it's 5 o'clock, almost the end of the day for them, the work was not yet finished. There was still more to do. So it's important work. The work is important, but the work is also incomplete. That's why he keeps hiring the workers. So let's focus on those workers for a little bit. Right? A hired worker, a hired laborer here, wasn't required to do the job like the family members or the servants in the master's household would be. Right? Like you have your kids and your family, they would be all helping you out, they would be working, but these were hired workers. They were basically temporary help. And they were probably unemployed. See, it seems that in Jesus' day, there were many small farmers who had been kind of forced off their land. They lost their property because of the debt that they had built up in trying to pay off their taxes to the Romans. Now, it's interesting because God had a provision in the Old Testament law that said their land couldn't be taken away from the people who work it. But if they lost their land, they would lose their livelihood. So God was concerned about that. He put that in their law. But Israel was under Roman rule and the Romans didn't really care about the Jewish law that much. So there was this large pool of workers who had lost their land, and they gathered each morning hoping to be hired for the day. The workers that were hired first, probably the most desirable workers, right? I mean, look, if you have your pick of a big group of workers, who are you going to pick? Most likely the younger, bigger, stronger, faster, more durable people. The ones who can get more work done. So they probably get picked fairly early in the day. But as the day went on, those better workers were probably largely picked over, right? The other landowners, I'm sure they knew this. They could probably work the system a little bit, get them to work, a worse job for like lesser pay. Plus, the later it got in the day, the less time they were able to put in. So those waiting around at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, they would have virtually no chance to earn enough to feed their family for the day. Now try to imagine being in that situation. Right? At some point, you just take anything you could get, right? You were basically one step above begging. So there were likely these different levels of workers, but none of these hired workers had any chance to make a living until the master came along and hired them. Right? None of them did. Whether they were hired at the beginning of the day or at the 11th hour or somewhere in between, they were all in the same boat. They were all needy. They all needed the work. So far, as you're going through the story, it seems pretty normal. But at the end of the day, we get a twist in the plot, because the master, in his generosity, gave them all a full day's wages. Right? And of course, there's a spiritual reality about the kingdom that Jesus is wanting to communicate here. And that's very simply that God is a generous God. Right? God is a generous God. He's the kind of God who digs into his own finances to pay people a full day's wages, even though they worked far less than a full day. Which, by the way, is a horrible business plan, if you think about it. So some put in a 12-hour day and get a full day's wages, and other people, well, they got paid like 12 times the hourly rate. At least the hourly rate that they deserved. Bad business plan. But the kingdom of heaven isn't about being a good business plan. God's main concern is the welfare of the workers, not the bottom line. Right? He wanted them all to have enough regardless of the hours worked. Now, did they deserve it? No. But they needed it. Right? And the master, who of course is God in this analogy, this parable, is generous and benevolent. He gave them what they needed, not what they deserved. So that's the first aspect of this parable that we should be embracing, first of all, that God is generous. He's a generous God. But then the second twist in the story comes when he handles how they're being paid. Right? He put the all-day workers in the back of the line, even though they have been out there all day long, just so they could see what he was doing. Right? When they saw these part-timers getting a full day's wage, they probably figured, well, the master had something special in store for them. Right, maybe some sort of bonus or a surprise of some kind. I mean, after all, they worked harder than anyone. They were tired, they were hot, they were sweaty. They were probably sore, unlike the people in the front of the line who didn't do very much, right? But they were thinking, well, I'm sure that the master's going to make it all worth our while. So that anticipation builds, and as they get to the front of the line, when their turn finally comes, they did get a surprise. They got exactly what the master promised. Nothing more. And for them, it was like, oh, what a letdown. And the jealousy kicked in, right? Jesus says they were all protesting because they worked harder and longer than the others. And then one of them speaks up and is like, hey, boss, we've been working all day long. How can we get the same as the other workers? Shouldn't we get something more? The master says, no. So what if I wanted to give them what I gave you? It's my money. I can do with it what I want. And I wanted to be generous to them. But they didn't do anything. We did all the hard work during the hottest part of the day. And the master's like, well, did you get what you were expecting? Well, yeah, but then what's the problem? Right? And Jesus said it this way, should you be jealous because I'm kind? Right? Should you begrudge my generosity? Look, the problem isn't with the master's generosity in this story. The problem was that the full-day workers weren't seeing things the way they should. Right? And here's another idea we want to bring out this morning is that even though they spent all day working for the master, they still didn't understand or appreciate his generous heart. Right? Even though they spent all day working for the master, they did not understand or appreciate his generous heart. If they did, they would have been rejoicing in what they had. And they would have been rejoicing that others got the same thing they did. After all, every single one of them in this story needed the money to care for their families. But instead of rejoicing, they're jealous. Now we might point at them and think, well, man, what's wrong with them? But let's face it, we all struggle with this at times, don't we? Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's say there's somebody who you don't know, but you know they live this terrible life. And they pushed Jesus aside for decades. Then somehow late in life, they find out they have some kind of terminal illness. They know they're going to die soon. And just before they die, they decide they're going to get right with God. We get skeptical about their intentions. We doubt their sincerity. We question whether God should really let them in. After all, they ignored Jesus their whole life when we were following him during ours. And now at the last second, they come crawling back to him. It just doesn't seem fair. Right, here's another example. I mean, we're a small church. By most standards, right? We keep plugging away, trying to make an impact with the gospel. But then there's this other church that's growing faster and seems way more successful than us, at least in terms of numbers. We get a little jealous, right? It's a struggle as a pastor. I don't know about you guys. Like, we've been going longer and harder at this than they have, but they seem to be exploding. God, why aren't you doing that kind of thing right here with us? It just doesn't seem fair. And there it is again, right? The F word, fair. Listen, God's not concerned about things being fair. Jesus dying on the cross was anything but fair. He didn't deserve that at all. Us getting into the kingdom of heaven isn't fair. None of us deserve that at all. It's a good thing for us that God isn't being fair, or we would all be heading up creek without paddles. When God is generous to others, don't be jealous, right? It's interesting that sometimes these same exact scenarios can happen to someone we love, and then we have no problem with it. Right? It's like this double standard that we have. Take the person who comes to faith at the last moment in their life. We might be skeptical of that when it comes to somebody else who lived this awful life, but what if that person was your brother or your sister? Or maybe a parent who's been resisting Jesus like their whole life. You've been praying that they would come to know him for a decade, maybe 20, 40, 60 years. And then it finally happens. Well, that changes things, doesn't it? Instead of being filled with jealousy and skepticism and doubt, we're relieved. We're grateful. We're filled with joy. Because this is someone we love deeply. This is someone we have longed for to come to know the love of Jesus. Or let's imagine it were us on that deathbed, finally facing all the lost years of our life where we wandered from God, where we rejected him. And we find ourselves drowning with regret because we put him off like our whole lives. And we know we can't get those years back. So here we are staring at this eternity separated from God, and nothing we can do are going to make up for those wasted years. In that moment, would we want God to be fair with us? Of course not. We would want him to be rich in mercy. We would want him to be full of grace. We would want him to be generous. And fortunately for us, he is. God is a generous God, so generous to each and every one of us. So when God is generous to others, don't be jealous, right? That kind of attitude, it eats away at your heart, it eats away at your joy. Proverbs 14:30 says this, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." It's a pretty strong verse about jealousy, right? "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." Here's what the New Living Translation says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones." We can relate to that, right? We see how devastating cancer can be. Listen, we ought to be excited when anyone chooses Jesus, regardless of how and when it happens. We ought to be overjoyed when someone chooses to follow Christ. We ought to celebrate anytime someone comes into the kingdom, whether it's at our church or any other Jesus-following, Bible-believing church, right? Let's celebrate that. You know why? Because God is overjoyed when that takes place. He is. So our posture should be like this. I know I have a reward in heaven. I know that when this life is over, I will spend eternity with Jesus. My destiny is secure. I put my faith and trust in him, and I know where I'm headed. So now that that's all squared away, I want to give whatever time I have left to helping others get what I've already got. Because I want everyone to have it. And here's the ironic part of the parable. That's what working in the vineyard was really all about. Right? That's what it was supposed to represent. So generally, the vineyard represented the kingdom and God's people. And we're all called to be workers in that vineyard. We're all called to play a part in building up the kingdom of God. That means reaching out to people with the gospel. That means tending to and caring for the spiritual well-being of God's people. Like, that's all kingdom work. That's all being a worker in the vineyard. That work is important, and it's not done yet. It's still incomplete. So whenever it was that you were called into this, to following Jesus, into faith in Christ, whether it was from early on in the day or just like an hour ago, you are called to work until the day is done, right? Till there's no more daylight left. So let's not waste our time being jealous of others who come late to the party, right? Don't resent that other people or other churches sometimes see greater results. When God is generous to others, don't be jealous. It plays out in a lot of areas of our lives. Instead, work as hard as you can while there is still daylight. Do what you can to draw others into the kingdom. Rejoice about every person who comes to faith in Jesus, who gets the same thing that you've got. Because that's what we're working for in the first place. That's what we're working for in the first place. All right, we're going to close our time with a few songs of worship, and the team wants to come up, that'd be great. But before we do that, let's take a moment and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to acknowledge, first of all, that you are a God who is a generous God, that you didn't hold back from us when you gave your son Jesus to give his life on the cross so we could be made right with you. We want to acknowledge that first and foremost, that you have done this for us, and we thank you for being so generous, for being full of mercy, for being full of grace. because none of us deserve that. None of us deserve that. So thank you for being a generous God. Help us to not respond in jealousy when we see things around us maybe going well for someone else, going better for someone else. They seem more blessed than we are. Protect our hearts. Help us to rejoice. Help us to work hard as laborers, as hired laborers, as workers in the vineyard who long to see others come to get what we've got, an eternity with you, the kingdom of heaven. Father, give us right hearts that would see and appreciate and understand your generosity and not be concerned that we get more, but be grateful that you love everyone so much you desire for them to have what they need. And ultimately, that is eternal life. Thank you so much, Father, for being a generous God. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, who gave his life for us, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's take some time and worship together this morning.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.